congregation, sometimes we are surprised. Didn't expect that to happen. We just wonder. We're not prepared for that. We didn't think about it. Not only in general, you know, like you have cancer, or something is wrong with the child. So surprised, it's a surprise, so unprepared, so suddenly, so out of the blue, we say. But that's not always right. We should have been prepared, right? Why are things, many things, such a surprise to us? And that's also true in spiritual things. God's children are sometimes surprised because they had times that were so good. There was such a peace, such an overwhelming joy, such a surety. They could say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It was good with their soul. And then it's gone, the peace. And there is attack of Satan, and there is darkness, and there are doubts, there are storms, and they did not expect that to happen. So they wonder, am I a child of the Lord? Has it ever been true? I can't believe it anymore. And there can be atheism in your heart. What is truth? You may come to a place that you doubt everything. It is possible that there is thick darkness and you can fall into sins and so many things can happen. Such surprises. And that's why God's children need to be prepared. And that's why we also encourage God's children when there is sin and darkness. We say, this is not unheard of. This happens more often. This happens in the Bible also to them. They're God's people. As if nothing ever happened. They become so unconverted again. They need to be converted again. And that was also true for the Apostle Peter, right? He did not think he would ever do that. That he would ever deny his master. That he would fall into such a sin. That he would enter up in and end up in such a darkness. He was not prepared for that. He didn't think that it would happen. It came. Devastating. So 2 years ago, I preached about that. And I'm doing it again. I just want to. I just feel drawn to that. So the text is from Luke 22, the verses 31 and 32. Luke 22, 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So far. What Christ said about faith to Peter. What Christ said about faith to Peter. Three thoughts. Faith challenged. Challenged. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. Faith challenged. Secondly, faith prayed for. And the Lord said, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And in the third place, faith strengthened. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, Christ said about faith to Peter. Faith challenged, faith prayed for, and faith strengthened. So congregation, young people, you're still in that house in Jerusalem, remember? The Lord Jesus sent out John and Peter and said, go to the city. Will a man meet you with a pitcher on his head and follow him and tell him that the Master wants the Passover to be prepared? And they did, and they followed him. He sent the forth two of his disciples, go into the city, and wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the Master saith, there is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover. And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared to make ready for us. So they were sitting there, remember? We talked about it not long ago. And the Lord Jesus knew that house, right? It might be the same house as in Acts 12. In Acts 12, the Apostle Peter is in prison. He was released, freed, and came to that house. I think it's the same house. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all expectation of the people of the Jews. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered to get pray. So he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. So the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. I think it's the same house. So there the Lord Jesus spoke to them. And he said unto them, for example, with desire, I have desired. That's double, right? That's Hebraism. That's a way to emphasize things. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So a long desire, a warm, loving desire. Because he desired the communion with his disciples. He desired that special fellowship. He desired to teach them. He desired to comfort them. He loved them. And he loved the work on earth he did. He loved his Father, loved his church. And there the Lord Jesus spoke about, this is my body, broken for you. And he shared the cup. And it's such a wonder. Because Christ was about to suffer terrible agony. And he knew that he would not receive much support of his disciples. Because they would be fighting who is more important. And they will fall asleep in the garden. And they will all flee as well. And the Apostle Peter will deny him. It's quite an amount of things against them. And Lord Jesus yet desired, with desire, to eat with them in spite of all that. They're still human, you know, and there's such weakness and the corruption of the heart. And yet the Lord is holding on to them. And then after the Lord had instituted the Lord's Supper, before they were leaving, or they already had left on that Thursday evening, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, do you know more Bible stories with the name of someone mentioned twice? Martha. Martha. Right? Because she was so busy with so many things, it looks like, oh, Martha, Martha. There's quite an emphasis on her. Do you know another one, young people? Saul, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? So direct and personal. And so the Lord is also very personal today to you and to me. He's kind of mentioning your name. Simon, Simon, I know you. I know who you are. I know where I found you. I know your unconverted state. I know you. So the Lord Jesus speaks very personal. Simon, Simon. Now some state he said Simon and not Peter. That's right. So why is that? I'm not so sure. Some say Simon is his old name, his natural name, and Peter is more his new name. So did the Lord address him not as a disciple, not as a child of God, but as a human, kind of the old Peter? Now, it might be true, but there's one problem. A few verses further in 34, it says, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny me. So, you would expect that there was Simon there as well then. Whatever it is very personal, Simon, Simon. And whatever it is, the Lord knows his old, this old man, the old nature of him as well. So, sitting at the table, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold. So he's not only supposed to hear this, but he has to really understand it. And behold it, and beware of it, and watch it, and do something about it. Behold, Satan has desired to have you. Christ had such a desire, right? Warm, loving desire. He is also a desire, but that's a different word. That's the word we could translate as demand in a very negative, dark way. Demand. Satan has demanded to have you. He has expressed a strong desire to have you. He is asking permission. That's what it says. So Satan is asking permission of who? Of God. Satan is asking, oh God, I really want him. I really need permission to betray him and to slay him so that he would not just have a bad day. I like to kill him. I like to sift as the wheat. So that reminds us of Job. You know, there is a visible world and an invisible world. And there's much going on in the invisible world. Satan and angels and devils, and we don't see it, but it's reality. And that reminds you of Job 1, right? Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught?" No wonder. No wonder everything goes okay in his life. He's so blessed. "Does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and protected him and about his house, about all that he has on every side? Thus blessed the work of his hands, and his substance increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, O God, and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So Satan is God, Satan. The devil is God's devil. Satan cannot move a finger without God's permission and will. And what Satan is doing is under God's control. And he can't do anything if God doesn't want him to. And what he is doing has a place in God's providence. So Satan is demanding God to sift this Peter in such a way that his faith will fail. Right? That's the purpose. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat." Now some say this is a sift, and some say this is more kind of a fan. I cannot decide it. Maybe it's the one or the other or both. A fan is that it's kind of a scoop. And the chaff and the wheat is still together and need to be separated. So with that scoop, they throw it in the air, all those kernels and the chaff is blown away, goes to the side, and the kernels are heavier, so they fall right on the ground. And others say, "No, this is a sieve with holes in there, and the kernels stay on there, but the fine dust goes through." Anyway, Satan wants to shake them. I said them. It says you. Satan has delivered to have you. When it says you in the Bible, it means plural. When it is singular, it says thee, or thou. See that in this text, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you, plural, all the disciples, and the church. But I have prayed for thee. That's personal. That's singular. So Satan has desired to have the whole church, to have all those disciples. He wants them to fall through the sieve. He wants them to fall through the holes. That he may sift you as the wheat. So, in what way? Well, as I indicated, you have to read 31 and 32 together. To sift you as the wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith will fail not. So he is doing his best to sift me as the wheat, but I have prayed that the faith will fail not. So I conclude that in verse 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you" means that he wants to take that faith away. He wants that faith to fail. That's his desire, to take it away, faith. So he's asking God permission. What does the Lord say? Absolutely not, Satan. You don't do that. I don't give you permission to sift him as the wheat. No. Did the Lord say that? The Lord didn't say that. Kind of the Lord said, go ahead. Sift him as the wheat. But I pray for him that his faith will not fail. You go ahead. It's in a way beneficial. It's in a way helpful. It's in my providence. Do it. See that? Surprise for God's children. When those attacks, that the faith would fail, come. Say, oh, what's happening? I just don't know it anymore. Do you know that is God giving Satan permission to buffet you? But why is the Lord doing that? What's the purpose of that? Well, you know what God's purpose is, right? It's always the same. His glory. So somehow, God is glorified that his children are attacked. And his children don't know it anymore. And when the faith comes back, and when they experience those hardships, and give glory to God, it's to God's glory. And in a way, sometimes even to their own welfare, that their faith would even increase through all those horrible experiences. Satan tries to disturb how? How does he attack God's people? Well, he tempts to sin. Right? And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil putting in the heart of Judas to betray him. See, that is Satan. By reminding you of the past, by the sins of youth, he likes it when God's children cringe and say things like, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Or when they say, I've sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. So the Lord knows certain ways to attack his people, by diseases even. Satan can be involved in diseases. Satan, so when Satan fell from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. You know, Satan is involved in things. But God is higher. So Satan likes people to doubt. He is buffeting. He is questioning the Bible. He comes as an angel of light. And his biggest trick is letting you believe that he does not exist. But he likes to ruin the church. Likes to ruin marriages. Likes to ruin people's mental health. Physical health. He wants to discourage. He makes discontent. He comes with false doctrine. He likes Pharisees. He likes worldly philosophy, that people don't believe in creation but in evolution. He likes modern thinking. He attacks young people. He uses modern media. He uses Netflix to absorb lots of your time with one movie after the other. And you know they're wrong. And you know it's not good. And you waste your time. And Satan is laughing about it. He loves it. Oh, he has such a desire to have you and to sift everyone. See how serious life is? Much more is going on than you can see. There is an invisible world. There is a power of darkness. And unbelievers don't see it. But God's children also need that persistent consciousness that they are under constant attack. So God is glorified by what he's doing, also by the timing. You know, the Lord could have annihilated Satan right away and sin. But the Lord is going through a process through his church, with advances and retreats, like a general in the war, forwards, afterwards, backwards, to the left, to the right. But he is doing his best. And the thing is that faith, right? 1 John 5 verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, that faith is crucial here. Faith challenge. Go to the second part. Faith prayed for. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, that you won't have faith. If you have no faith, you fall through that sieve. You fit in that hole, but if you have faith, you don't fit in there. You stay on there. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith will not fail. What's the sense of saying, behold, watch it, be careful, keep your eyes open. Because Satan wants to have you. What's the sense of saying that? When the Lord Jesus says, I prayed for you. You fail or not fail. But if that's true, then I'm going to sit back. I don't have to watch. I don't have to be careful. Because he has said anyway, your faith will not fail. But you know, that's one of those things we will never be able to truly understand. Our responsibility, right? And God's sovereignty. It's the same for repent ye. Why would you die? And the Lord gives repentance to unto them he wants to. But he yet says, repent ye. And so the Lord says to his church and to Simon Peter, behold, but I pray for you. And now it is in singular. I have prayed for thee that thy faith will not fail. He's warning, but he's also praying for them, because perseverance is a miracle. It's a miracle to be stopped by the Lord, but it's also a miracle when God's children continue on that narrow pathway. It's such a wonder that they don't get off the road. Because the enemies are mighty. And our strength small. And this world is full of snares. And the heart is weak. So that it sometimes seems at first sight impossible to reach heaven. Knowing all those things seems at first sight impossible to ever go to heaven. Unless we have a mighty friend, the Lord Jesus. Unless we have a watchful advocate at the right hand of the Father. Unless we have someone who always intercedes and says, I don't want that faith to fail. Someone at the right hand of the Father, presenting it to the Father, I have received him. This was a chosen one. He was chosen from eternity. I came for this person. I obeyed for him. I suffered for him. I died for him. Do you know what is more important? Christ's death or Christ's life? After he died. His death is very important. He paid the price. But what about him at the right hand of the Father? Praying. Constantly making intercession. Because the Lord Jesus prays. And there are places in the Bible where we can see what he exactly prayed. For example, in John 17, the high priestly prayer. So let me quote you verse 34. Father, the Lord Jesus talking. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, be with me. Where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. See the Lord Jesus pleading? Father, I will. He demanded it. He had the right to say this. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. He promised to save his church. He paid the price. And the Lord would not only hold on to them. Yes, he will. The Lord is holding on to his people. Not only that. The Lord doesn't only forgive them time and again, that as well. The Lord wouldn't only restore them again. That's right. But he does not want their faith to fail. He strengthens their faith. Their faith will not fail. In the Greek it says of fail, eclipse. The faith will not disappear and be gone. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin in that sinful way, in that unconverted way, because he is born of God. So Christ loves them. He cannot lie. He is strong enough to keep them. Nobody can possibly pluck them out of his hand. And he rekindles their faith. How? Remember that, children? Remember the deepest point of Peter? Fell so deep. What happened? How did the Lord hold on to him? How did the Lord rekindle his faith? Well, he had three times denied the Master. I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. It's not true. And the rooster crew. And he left the courtyard and cried bitterly. Right? The deepest point we know of the Apostle Peter. What did I do? What did I do? I denied my Master. What happened? Why did he walk out crying? Because Lord Jesus looked at him. He just looked at him with that kind, loving way of looking. And that broke his heart again. So also this morning hour, the Lord is kind of looking at his own people and saying, have you forgotten me? I have not forgotten you. You are in the palms of my hand. Nobody can plug them away. I have prayed for you. That your faith will not fail. So let me show you a few gems from the Bible about that intercession. We saw something of it in John 17. What about Isaiah 53? Yes, that important chapter also speaks of intercession. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession. He's still doing that. He's still doing that right now. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Romans 8:34. Or John 17, again, back to John 17. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So the Lord Jesus, asking the Father, keep through thine own name, keep them. So the Lord does not only give a shield to his people, but also a hand to hold it up, that their faith will not fail. He is keeping them. 1 Peter 3. I like that verse too. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. ready to be revealed, were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You say, but I don't know if he prays for me. You know, it's true the Lord Jesus prays for the elect. Right? So you say, I don't know. Am I an elect? I wonder now. I thought I was, but I can't see it anymore. I lost all. So this text doesn't help me at all. Because it's about Peter, about the church, and I don't belong to the church. I seriously doubt it. Well, it's true, it is a blessing if you may know. And if it has ever been true, it will remain true. But if you say, I don't know if he is praying for me, what do I say? Well, I can say he prayed for you. He prayed for the whole world. That's not what it is, right? The Bible says, I pray for them and not for the world. So I don't know if he prays for you in particular. I don't know. But what I know is this, that he calls you. That he invites you. That he warns you. That he says, behold. That he says, repent ye. That he says, believe in me. Right? That's what he says. So, don't go there. If you are an elect or not, don't go there. You don't have to find out first if you are one. You may, without knowing that, flee to the Savior as a sinner, as an ungodly one, as an unrighteous one, as an undeserving one, with having nothing in his hands, with completely empty, stripped from all self-righteousnesses. Don't come as a converted one. Don't come as an elect. Come as having as someone that has nothing. But I pray for thee that thy faith will fail not, and it won't. And there are still sheep not of this fold, and I will bring them in. And I have prayed for them, and more people will be saved because he's praying. And then the last thought, faith strengthened. So why did Satan receive permission to sift Peter's the wheat? What's the purpose of that? Not only that God will be glorified and that his faith will be strengthened for himself, but also that he may reach out to others better. That he would be more fit to preach the word to sinners. And when thou art converted, that will make a difference, Peter. And when thou art converted, you will be more able to strengthen the faith of your brethren. See that? God can bring good things out of evil. He can cause the weakness of some members of his church to work together for the benefit of the whole body of his people. He can make those sins a means to prepare Peter to uphold others. 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 13. They also see it. That the Lord is helping his people. And that he's holding on to them. Remember also the time after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Remember the Apostle Paul. Remember also David. You know, David in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, that's personal, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So, does he need to be converted again? Is that what it says, right? Convert again. When he should be converted? Well, not in a sense. In a sense, not, of course. He was converted. Once converted, he's always converted. Once alive, he's always alive. But he will have to come to his senses again. And that will make a real difference for him. Think of what the Lord Jesus said to Peter. So when they dined, Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said, a little later, feed my sheep. And again, feed my sheep. So the Apostle Peter learned a huge lesson that will be beneficial for others. And that's how the Lord works. He strengthens the faith of his brethren. Strengthens. The dictionary says to make stable, to place it firmly, to sit it fast, to fix it, to strengthen it, to make it firm, to render it constant, to confirm. So in this way he is able to strengthen the faith of his brethren. So he can say, if you would know what happened to me, you would not be so discouraged. I have been in those dark places, well, child of God, he said. I know about it. I'm not surprised that you are in such a darkness. I've been there as well. And I despaired. And I cried bitterly. And I did not know that I was able to do that. I was so high-minded. I was so strong in myself. I was so proud. But I've learned my lesson. So now you can stand next to a little one. And you can encourage them. And he is not that firm Christian that knows it all. And looks down on others. No, he is in a low place. Like the Apostle Paul, right? 1 Corinthians 59, for I am the least of the apostles, he said, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecute the church of God. So maybe that's why. You, child of God, are in that dark place right now. So that your faith will get stronger. and that you will be more beneficial to the church. Strengthen your brethren. Your brethren. Your sisters in the faith. Them that are one family. He can speak from experience that the Lord is good. That He is faithful. That He does not forsake the works of His own hands. You know, he writes in 1 Timothy 1, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And was that not the same also with Job? Job, right? We talk about Job. He was in a dark place as well. He cursed the day he was born. And through the whole book of Job, he is struggling and struggling and struggling. What's the sense of doing that? Well, at the end of Job, you see a different Job. He has learned much. He has eschewed evil as a righteous man. He was perfect in all his ways, in a sense. And there was yet so much room for improvement. So that's why I read in Job 42, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. It's the end of the book. That he adores God's majesty. And has a lower place than before. And that's the purpose. Don't be too surprised. Dear child of God, don't be so surprised. It's normal to have those dark days. It's under the Lord's permission. The Lord allowed Satan to sift the wheat. The Lord could have done it in a different way. But He has chosen this way. For His glory. For His honor. That faith will not fail. So in your experience, yes. But he has prayed and he continues to pray. And when they're converted, you know, God's children have to be converted. And convert again. Actually, it says, instead of convert, just turn back. When you have come back. We have turned back. Because they have straight, and they return. And when you have returned, strengthen your brethren. Glory to God for His faithfulness, for His wisdom, for His Son, and for that faith that He gives Himself, and for praying at the right hand of the Father, that their faith will not fail, and that new ones will be added. Amen.